today, Mark?
Tuesday.
Oh, yes.
Tuesday.
It's Ruminations Tuesday.
Yes. How you doing, Tom?
August the 20th in the year of our Lord 2013. I'm doing pretty good. Yourself?
It's getting hot again. I'm doing fine.
I'm a little disappointed. You have a regular shirt on.
Yes.
There's nothing on the shirt. Like last time was Vacation Bible School, or what, you're not involved with anything religious today?
I'm dressing a little bit more professionally today, I'm afraid. Yes.
Oh, I don't know. I think if you have something about Jesus, that's pretty professional.
Well, of course. Sure. Yes. Well, I've got some great t-shirts, let me tell you.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, in fact, you're getting some of them for next year's Vacation Bible School.
That's right.
By Concordia Publishing House.
Yes. Gangway to Galilee.
Yes. Yeah, I heard they've got an investigation because some are missing and they're trying to figure out who the worker is that's giving them out. But we won't get into that, you know. By the way, how's your daughter these days?
It's not her. She's doing fine.
I wasn't saying anything. Oh, we've got a serious subject today. You know, the abuse of children is so obvious. Well, what's that program that just had the highest rating about these Southern guys? Oh, I can't remember the name of the program, but they're really funny.
Oh, the Duck Squad?
Yes,
or what?
Duck Dynasty.
Duck Dynasty, yes. I cannot understand. I have not seen that show. I've seen pictures of these guys. I do not understand the draw of this show. Can you explain it to me?
Yes.
They look like a bunch of, you know, old-timers, prospectors.
Yeah, exactly.
Good old boys.
They are extremely funny. And for morality, you won't believe what happens at the end of every show. They have a prayer to Jesus.
No kidding. Well, God bless them.
And in fact, I just heard today that some atheists listen to them because they're so funny.
No kidding.
Although a lot of people are telling them that they should get rid of the prayer, you know.
Uh-huh.
And their producer told them that.
Huh.
And the head actor said, if we get rid of the prayer, that's the end of the show.
Well, good for them.
Absolutely. Yeah, Duck Dynasty. Well, the head actor just recently gave a discussion against abortion.
Hmm.
And you can go to the website, Google it, put in Duck Dynasty abortion, and you'll hear it. But he just couldn't understand how a woman who is pregnant, where a baby should be safest,
yes,
is allowed for that baby to, well, I'm not going to say what happens in an abortion,
right,
because we have children listening,
right,
every now and then. But he was very, very strong on this. And the person who was reporting it also is a Christian and was very happy for the program. And I'm beginning to see how, as a morality shifts away from God's will.
That's right.
That children are the ones getting hurt.
Sure they are.
We have a very good friend, Pastor Peter Kurowski. He has just written a 32-page paper on gay marriage. It's one of the best I've ever read. And we just went over it a couple of nights ago, and he sent me the corrected copy. And I'll be giving you a copy. I'll probably try and get him on to talk about it. But one of the things he does, he shows how a lot of homosexuals are homosexual because of the family they came out of. And also, he's got some interesting encounters with homosexuals that he had that were just furious with him. Penn State, you know, where they had,
yes,
that. You heard about what happened recently? They hired I think it was an Anglican pastor from Africa to be part of their outreach with counseling. And he sold his house in Africa and came to Penn State, bought a house there. And then some of the homosexuals found out that though he is not against homosexuals, he still thinks it's an evil.
Mm.
Which is, and they raise such a ruckus that he's been fired.
No kidding.
Yes.
Well, that's the times in which we live today. I'll tell you, you speak out against homosexuality, and you're going to get ostracized. You're going to get attacked, and it's
yes,
just that way. You know, I mean, persecution. You know,
yes,
really,
yeah. There's
it's
no
what we're
doubt
talking
that
about.
That's what we're talking about. Governor Christie from is it New Jersey?
Yes, New Jersey.
As I was coming in, I just heard on the news that he put through a law that is illegal to have groups that try and help homosexuals
yes.
lose that
right.
problem.
Right.
There's a special name for it. I can't recall.
Conversion or something?
Yeah,
or
something along that line.
Something along that line. Trying to...
Yes.
It's illegal to try to
yes.
get them to change their
that's right.
sexual orientation.
Which means he is now against every Christian church.
Right. That's right.
In fact, if I was in New Jersey this week, I would put up a sign. Are you having trouble with... abusing children, beating your wife, homosexuality, come, and we can help you get rid of that sinful motivation, et cetera, et cetera. And I like to see what he would do to a church who puts that up.
Right.
That's the purpose of the church.
That's right.
To bring people who are addicted to sin into a repentant attitude, first of all. I'm not going to guarantee that they're going to lose all of their desires in that area.
But at least they, you know, hopefully with the help of God's Holy
right.
Spirit, they come to realize that it is an evil that needs
right.
repentance and that they fight against it. I mean, they're going to lose some of those battles, obviously, with their old sinful nature. But they realize it's wrong and they realize they need God's help in battling that, those desires.
I made a point some time ago, and your eyes really opened up when I said I've never met a homosexual who isn't a child abuser. And then I went ahead and explained it, that what I meant is that Bible verse that whoever offends one of these little ones, and he's referring to little children,
yeah,
be better for him than a millstone, you know, be put on his
right.
neck and he be drowned. And I've never met a homosexual who opposes telling children that homosexuality is a valid lifestyle in God's eyes.
Yeah.
It would be like going up to children and saying, you know, God has no problem with you taking heroin. I don't see any difference between
yeah.
that and telling them that homosexuality is an okay
yeah.
lifestyle. That's offending the little child.
And causing them to stumble.
And God is really not going to sit back. And what the church needs to be looking for is all, and here's how they put it, unintended consequences.
Say that again.
The unintended consequences of laws that are passed. I've often said that every time a law is adopted, there should be two parts of it. Here are the benefits that we hope you get, and here are the negative things that may happen. I'll take a very simple one. Raising the minimum wage, say from $8, there were some people walking
right.
around, they wanted up to $15.
Right.
The benefits would be you'd have a better lifestyle at $15 an hour.
At least the people that are
yeah.
getting the minimum wage.
Exactly. The consequences that are unintended is half of you will be fired.
That's right.
Because McDonald's is still going to keep their dollar menu. And they're not going to be able to do that, paying their people $15 an hour.
No.
So instead of eight people in McDonald's doing all the serving, you're going to have five or four. So that the wages stay at the same level so they don't have to raise their prices. So, in fact, last night on one of the stations, they just had a study how raising the minimum wage always leads to unemployment, more unemployment, because people can't afford it. You know, I have a store, Bargains New and Resale, where we just almost give away stuff, you know, clothes for $2 and all kinds of things. And every now and then somebody will walk in who's unemployed. And they'll say, would you be willing to hire me? And I say, no. I said, as soon as I have one employee, you can't believe all the laws I come under.
Oh, I bet, yes.
Yeah, I actually have to have the store inspected in
sure.
order that it has certain things like safety.
Yeah, sure. It's ridiculous.
You know, all kinds of stuff. I have to start paying their unemployment tax. I have to start paying their health insurance. I have to start... All kinds of things. And the way to get around that is just make them part-time. But we don't charge that much, you know, because we're there to really help those in need. And so we're just trying to get enough to cover our costs. But as soon as you have an employee, boy, you're going to really be going up. In fact, more and more companies, it appears, are going to part-time employees. Or what I hire. I never had an employee. What I always hire is a sole proprietor. You know, they have their own business, which means they pay their own tax and this sort of thing. And you make a contract with them. Perhaps they're going to come in and fix your roof or something. Unintended consequences, I think the church needs to start speaking out on these items. I mean, it just blows my mind that those who are pro-abortion will not see anything wrong with it because a woman has a right over her own body, as though the female in the body
has no rights at all.
Well said. Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense at all. Why would they say something like that? It just
selfishness.
Well, you really hit that on the head. Martin Luther in the Heidelberg Disputation talked about two kinds of theologians. The theologian of the cross.
The theologian of glory.
Very good. And I always like saying the theologian of self-glory, because they're more concerned about their self, how they look to the world, etc. As you came in, my wife just gave this to me just before I left the house. One of the shows I used to like watching was Rizzoli and Isles. It is, one of the actresses is Angie Harmon, and I always liked her when she was on Law and Order, and so she moved over to this. And so she's the detective, and Isles is the doctor, the coroner in that area. And they solve cases all the time. And they have two other detectives, and one of them is, his name was Lee Thompson Young, the actor. Well, I was watching last year's, and it was a pretty good story, not bad at all. But for some reason, beginning this year, all of a sudden, they started using swear words. And the
even though it's prime time.
Yes, yeah, that's a really good point to make, that children are watching this, and they are using swear words. I don't know if Angie Harmon in real life is married and has a child, but I can't imagine that she would ever use that language in front of her own children. But to increase the ratings, they're using these swear words. And I remember saying to Louise, you know, something's going to happen with this program. Well, in today's news, this young...
You're kidding. You anticipated.
Oh, I mean, no, no.
You thought something...
Well, once you start going against the will of God, there are natural consequences that kick in. And so it didn't surprise me at all that Lee Thompson Young, the young black actor, committed suicide yesterday. And they haven't given any of the details how he did it. But I just can't imagine that being around people who don't see any problem with using swear words while children are listening, that they have a kind of an attitude. For example, who's that mayor of that city in California?
Mayor of San Diego?
Yes, yes, yes.
The one that's got all the charges against him?
Against
accusations.
The women. Now, this is really interesting. You know, we're talking theologically here, where people are finally getting some sense. They have now found that he used the city credit cards for personal use. And they're looking into that now. And one of the commentators, who I know is very liberal, she made this point. She said, well, you know, with him fooling around with women, we ought not be surprised that he's probably stealing money too. And the reason that it was so fascinating is because they've been going over other individuals like President Clinton, and they have the idea that even though he can be immoral in certain areas, that he could still run the country okay.
Yes.
And they don't realize that, I don't know about you, but every...
It's pervasive.
This is a personality problem of the old Adam. And it never stops with just one thing.
No.
And I know a lot of people love President Clinton. I'm a pastor, so I'm not speaking here as a pastor. But every time I see him on television, I feel like I'm being manipulated. It doesn't matter what he says. Even when he joins with George Bush in something. I think George Bush, that's very good, because he's that kind of man. But Clinton, when I hear him say the same things. See, it changes your perception. Why it doesn't change for everyone? But because we have a law and gospel point of view that when you're corrupt in one area of life, then don't be surprised to find other areas of life. Because once you get away with it in the one area, well, the old Adam's going to have you move into other areas. And so there are a lot of people who are saying a lot of the violence is created because of the movies and things like that. I don't know what you feel about that, but I used to see really violent movies when I was a kid, or horror movies.
Monster movies.
The one that scared me the most, because I couldn't sleep for some nights.
I loved monster movies when I was a kid.
Did you ever see The Fly?
No, that was before my time.
It was. Oh, wow.
But I heard about it.
I mean, it was a movie where a guy has, he's trying to transport things.
Transport through time, and a fly flies into the machine.
When he transports himself over, and so he has the head of a fly.
Yes.
And at the end of the movie, after he's killed, because he becomes quite monstrous, the last scene, it goes to a little flower, and there's a fly with his head on it.
They actually showed that.
Yeah. And I
don't know why that just strikes me so funny.
I could not sleep for nights.
A little fly flying around with a head on.
Yes.
You couldn't sleep for nights.
No. Because during the movie, they were trying to find the fly to put it back in and see if it would go back. Which is so stupid because he probably would have legs like a fly.
That's right.
And the fly would have his legs or something.
Yeah.
It was such a stupid movie.
Oh, I know.
But I'll tell you this. It didn't make me go out and try and kill flies or anything. No. And when Tarzan fights a lion, it didn't make me go to the zoo and look up a lion to see if I could fight him or things like that. Or aliens, which really gets kind of violent.
Yeah.
It didn't make me do that. So I'm not quite so sure
that there's a correspondence with violence.
I think what happens, if a child is brought up in a certain environment, that can trigger violence that he's already predisposed to.
Especially if he can't always distinguish between reality and...
Well said.
And fantasy, you know. I mean, some kids just can't
distinguish. I draw the line is swearing.
Mm-hmm.
Because a good pastor friend of mine, he had a congregation, and somebody was pulling the fire alarms. And they had a school, so they thought it was their kids. But one day, when the fire alarm was pulled, he saw two young boys run out of the church into the field near them, and he followed them. And he found out that they weren't members of the church at all. Mm-hmm. They were from the neighborhood. And he chastised them, and they began swearing at him a blue streak. I mean, I would never have even heard that in my school that much, at teachers and things like that.
Yeah, when we were growing up.
No, I don't remember any of that. I mean, kids would maybe swear when I was with them or something like that.
But they sure
never.
Caught it. Yeah.
But because of this crazy victimology understanding that everyone is a victim, that you can't really blame the kid for the way he behaves, there's no discipline in a lot of schools. I give a lot of credit to public school teachers where they're into an area where the principal doesn't do discipline and actually chastises. I mean, there's teachers who, in defending themselves, you know, were punished to some degree. Because they hit a child or things like this. The point I'm trying to make today is from a long gospel point of view, God not only created a world that has natural consequences. Like if you drop an apple out of a three-story building, it just doesn't sit there in the air. It falls to the ground. It's called gravity.
Right.
But in the area of morality, God also has put in place consequences for immorality. And I think the church needs to be making that more aware to people.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm finding that a lot of Christians are having a hard time talking to, say, their homosexual friends and giving them a message from God. They really don't know what to say. Because as soon as they start saying something, they're accused of being hateful, or this sort of thing. Do you have any ideas in this area?
Well, I remember Professor Overdone. You know, he was from Australia. I remember him making the statement that, you know, God forgives, but nature does not. often forgive. You know, like cirrhosis of the liver, for instance. I mean, you know, God can forgive our drunkenness, but nature doesn't always forgive.
That's right. Another thing, of course, is AIDS.
Yeah.
That's been received through immoral activity.
Right.
A lot of people did get AIDS through blood transfusion.
Right.
You know.
It brings repercussions on all of us.
Yes.
You know, not just the gays themselves, but.
And I think that's a point that needs to be made again and again. Okay. We're going to go to our phone lines and try and at least get Frida on here. Hello, Frida. You're on the air. Hello?
Yeah. I'm Linda.
I think it's Linda. Isn't it?
Oh, I'm sorry. Linda. I misread it. It's correct on there, but okay. An L looks like an F, and an I looks like an R, and how can I help you?
And Tuesday seems like Friday to me, too.
Yes. Boy, I didn't know what month I was in when I was driving in, but go ahead.
Well, the symptoms of sin, the real sin is the rebellion against God, as we know, and the diagnosis, you know, that we give, if that's wrong, then the remedy is poison. The remedy is only Jesus Christ and Him crucified all the time, every time. And there can't be any excuses. I mean, you can tell people all day the common sense reasons why they shouldn't do something, but it would be like telling a blind person what a flower looks like, because only Jesus can open their eyes to it, and only Jesus can heal them and make them whole, and only Jesus can heal them at the cross. And it's all foundational. If there's sin in my life or this manifest sin that you're talking about, if this sin is taking over our lives, it's foundational. Get back to the foundation of Jesus Christ and Him crucified and His resurrection that helps us to be free and free indeed, and by His blood. These things, you know, I know a lot of churches, my church too, a lot of people, they don't have a cross holding the person of Jesus Christ, because they say, well, Jesus is not still on that cross, but I am.
Yes.
I need to see. I am still on that cross, and I need to be crucified daily. And I think to think of it that way, to look at the cross and see, for me, that's me, you know. And the things that, you know, keep us captive, the things that would destroy us and make a mockery out of God's creation, the sin has to be nailed to that cross.
Right.
And if we could be healed any other way, He didn't have to die. So.
Well said. Well, thank you very much. We're going to talk about that, okay?
God bless you.
You too. Jesus is the remedy. How do you use that in your ministry, Mark?
Well, his gospel has healing power.
To have a remedy means you first have to have a problem.
Problem, a sickness.
Right. And I think this is where the difficult part is coming, is people won't accept the remedy if they don't think they have a problem. We've heard this with alcoholics. Don't help them through their situation. Let them get down to...
Hit rock bottom.
Very good. Hit rock bottom. The trouble is... that sin
sometimes
is
they don't
enjoyable.
Survive.
Yes, yes. So that dealing with, say, a homosexual, how do you get them to rock bottom? Things have to happen in their life that wakes them up, that they're not living according. And I think at that point you give the gospel. Isn't that true?
Right. And how many lives can they destroy before they do hit rock bottom, if they ever hit rock bottom?
It is the work of the Holy Spirit for them to hit rock bottom, and that's by the use of the law. But the law doesn't comfort them or save them or anything. But the law prepares for the hearing of the gospel. Would you agree with that?
Mm-hmm.
So you can probably think of instances in your own congregation, and we don't want to get personal here, where somebody had to hit rock bottom, and the law did that. And then you brought them back up, you know, through the gospel. Specifically, the gospel are the promises of God connected to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Would you agree with that?
Especially baptism. Baptism connects us with all those blessings that he won for us on the cross and at the empty tomb.
Because baptism is a way in which Jesus transfers over to you the benefits he won for you on the cross.
That's right.
For sure.
Personally.
Yeah. He promises, Acts chapter 2, and you will receive the gift of the
Holy Spirit
and the gift of the forgiveness of sins. Those two. Well, thanks again for being with me, Mark. Your worship service times?
Yeah, 9 o'clock Sunday morning. 9 o'clock Sunday morning, followed by adult Bible class in Sunday school, and also 5 o'clock
on
Saturday evening.
KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.